Radio Libre de Cuenca. Radio Color, la Radio Libre de Cuenca.
Everybody, good afternoon and welcome back to our program. Today's our ninth program already. And with us, we've got today our photo teachers, as usual. Anna, how are you?
I'm fine, thank you. How are you?
Yeah, I'm very good, thanks. Christina, welcome back again.
Yes, good afternoon, Cuenca. Hope you're all ready for this program.
Of course they are. And of course, Agus, a very important man with us. How are you, mate?
I'm very well, thank you.
All right.
And you?
Yeah, I'm very good. Yeah. All right. Well, here speaking is Manuel García. You already know me. Right. So, please, let's remind where you can find us. Anna, where can you find us?
So you can find us on radiocolor.es.
Uh-huh, that's right. And Agus, where else can they find us?
On the radio 106.2 FM.
Okay. And Chris, anywhere else?
Yes, of course, on Facebook. And also remind you that you can download the podcast of the programs.
You don't really have to be, you know, listening to us online or on the radio. You know, you can download it and, you know, put it on your phone, put it on your iPod, and then, you know, just walk your dog and listen to us at the same time. That's fantastic.
You'll have fun with us. Manu, I would just like to say, before you start the program, that one of our colleagues, Beatriz, is leaving us for personal reasons, and I would like to wish her, and I think all the team
of course
would like to wish her a very good farewell on her next steps. And I know we're all going to miss her, so farewell.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, it's been a pleasure working with you, Bea. We wish you all the best. Okay,
exactly. Don't
we?
Yeah. A big kiss. Okay,
good.
Let's go.
So, today, as usual, we have a grammar and common mistakes and false friends. Then we will do a little bit of reading. Then the musical break with the idiom, as you know. And then some extra idioms that we're going to teach you today. And in the end, we'll be talking about, you know, from today on, we'll be talking about a series of English-speaking countries that are not the typical ones that you may think of. Like, we're not going to be talking about the UK, the US, Australia, Ireland. No, let's find out about some rather unknown countries where English is also spoken, right? Okay, so let's start. What's the fact? Number nine, okay? Now, I'll do the grammar first, as usual. So today, the first grammar mistake that many students make in our school, for example, is when they say more happy. Okay, they say, I am more happy than yesterday, I don't know. Okay, Anna, what would you say instead? What is the right way of saying this?
Okay, so the right way to say it would be to say, I am happier.
I'm happier. And can you tell us about the spelling of that?
So the spelling has to change. So the spelling would become H-A-P-P-I-E-R.
So we replace the Y, the original Y, for an I. Okay?
Yes.
Happier. That's very good. And the same goes for crazier, the same goes for heavier, etc.
Yes.
Very good. Now, another one. This is not exactly grammar, but it's word order, which is also very, very important. So it's the difference between also and to. we all know that also and to have got the same meaning, but, you know, sometimes we don't exactly know where to place them in the sentence. So, Christina, where do we place also and where do we place to?
Okay, you might know the meaning, but some people might not.
Okay. Well, let's say, just in case.
So also or to is también. Mm-hmm. Okay. The easiest way to learn this is that also usually goes at the beginning of the phrases, and to usually or tends to go at the end of the phrases. So mm-hmm. Because I like tennis, I will. Mm-hmm. I also play tennis. Mm-hmm. I play tennis too. Okay. And two is very at the end, and it's usually full stop, or you continue the phrase, but it's a long phrase or a long sentence. But also can be a little bit more tricky, okay? Because it depends of the type of verb you use it with, or the type of tense, actually. When you use simple tenses, like a present simple or a past simple, which is only basically one verb, it goes between the pronoun or the noun and the verb. So, I also play tennis. Mm-hmm. But what happens when we get into more complicated verb tenses? So, when we use an auxiliary verbs or modal verbs or futures, okay? We have to put also between the two verbs, between the auxiliary auxiliary and the proper verb. Mm-hmm. So, I have also played tennis, mm-hmm. I will also play tennis, or I would also play tennis.
That's right.
Okay, so remember, also at the beginning of the phrases, sentences, to right at the end.
At the end of the sentence. That's right, Christina. Thank you. And then the next mistake is about spelling. Okay, it's a spelling mistake. Lots and lots of people spell the word writing, okay, with a double T. But it's not spelled like that. That's not the right spelling. So, Agus, could you tell us about that a bit?
Yeah, of course. It is wrong. So, the verb write has different forms, and the only one with double T is the past participle, and it's written. Okay, if mm-hmm. you write the verb write, it is with just one T in the present tense, in the past, but not the past participle. Mm-hmm. Okay, the past participle is the only case you have to use it with double T.
So writing is single T, write is single T, writer is single T, wrote again. Okay,
exactly. Yeah,
good. Thank you. All right, and now we have got three false friends that you may like. For example, the first one is bland, okay? B-L-A-N-D, bland. Agus, does that mean blando?
No, of course it doesn't. It is so-so. Mm-hmm. So we can use it in a sentence like, this meal is bland. So mm-hmm. it means it needs salt, mm-hmm. okay? Or yeah. you can also use it with a person, okay? This guy is so bland.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Okay, so bland is it's not bland. It's not what it seems. That's why it's a false friend. Christina, I've got another one here.
Thank you.
And sometimes students make this mistake as well. Camp, okay? Camp, C-A-M-P. It looks like it means campo. But it's not campo. What is it?
Camp mm-hmm. is a camping. Mm-hmm. Okay, what we call in Spanish a camping. Mm-hmm. And campo would be countryside. Mm-hmm. Okay, so when we go to the countryside, we don't go camping, though we could go camping on the in the countryside. Okay, but countryside is campo. And camp is a camping. Or it could also be a campamento, mm-hmm. okay?
That's right. Yeah, good. And then another one that you may not know very well, but it's casualty. Casualty, right? That's spelled C-A-S-U-A-L-T-Y, okay? Casualty sounds a little bit like casualidad, but it's not. It's far from that. So, Anna, How would you describe, what is a casualty?
So a casualty is like a victim. So for example, if there was an accident, you would say there were five casualties, five victims. And then it has another meaning. So you can use it in the place of hospital. So for example, I took my friend to casualty. I took him to hospital.
Yeah, that's quite interesting. Okay. Hospital, casualty. Yeah, that's very good. All right. So, let's get to the Count of Monte Cristo, right? We need to do some more reading. So, let's get started with it. And let's just do it, okay? As Villefort was returning to the Saint-Mérin's dinner party, he was stopped in the street by a beautiful dark-haired girl. "Please tell me where Edmond Dantès is, monsieur," she said, her voice breaking with sadness.
"I can't tell you that. He's a criminal," replied Villefort coldly, pushing Mercedes to one side. For a moment, he felt worried about Dantès. To keep himself safe, he had sent an honest young man to prison for life and destroyed any hope of happiness for Edmond and his fiancée. He knew that he had the power to put matters right, but the moment passed and he did nothing.
The next day, Villefort travelled to Paris to tell the king that Napoleon was planning to escape from Elba. He hoped the king would be grateful for this information and reward him richly, but he was unlucky.
While he was at the palace, news of the emperor's escape was brought to the king, and the king was too busy worrying about his own future to think about rewarding the crown persecutor.
In the next 2 weeks, many Frenchmen hurried to join Napoleon's army as it moved northwards, and finally the king had to leave Paris for a safer country. Napoleon became emperor again.
Now Villefort had to be careful if he wanted to keep his job. People knew that he had spoken against the emperor. Renée Saint-Mérin was no longer the right wife for him, and his plans for a wedding were soon forgotten.
And when Monsieur Morel, the owner of the Pharaon, asked him repeatedly about Dantès, he always pretended to be warmly interested in Edmond, but sadly unable to help. He hoped that no one would ever find out about the terrible thing that he had done.
Okay, that was beautiful. Thanks, everybody. Now, Anna, I think we've got some homework to correct from last week, okay?
Yes, that's
right. Can you remind
us
what it was, and can you reveal the answers now?
So the homework from the previous episode we did was to tell us the meanings of some of the words in the book. So the first word we'll explain was the word cell. So the meaning of this word is a small room in a prison or police station. And another one of the words we asked you to explain was row. So in this context, the word means to move a boat through water using long pieces of wood with flat ends, so to row. And then the final word that we gave to you was God. So this word means an important being who never dies and who decides what happens in the world.
All right. Good. We hope that you got all your answers correct. Now, Anna, have we got any new homework for today's reading?
Yes. So the homework that we would like to give to you is a passage from the book, from the chapter that we've read, and you will have to fill in the missing information with some of the words. So we will upload it onto Facebook, and then you can fill in the missing pieces.
Okay. That sounds
it's going
good.
To be also in Radio Color webpage.
Okay.
So the tip is that the words you have to use is the words you know the meaning now.
Yes.
Okay. So.
All right. So they can use them. Good. It's good to put words, new words that we learn in context. Right. That's the best way to learn them.
That's the aim of the exercise.
Exactly. All right. Now, I think it's time for some music. You ready?
Yes, please.
So today, Agus, what are you going to give us?
Okay, we are going to listen to the idiom song is "Don't Get Me Wrong" by the Pretenders. So if you are ready,
I think, yeah.
So let's do it.
I hope you like the song. I think everybody knows this lovely song by The Pretenders. And now, Don't Get Me Wrong is an idiom in itself, isn't it? So, Anna, what can you tell us about this idiom?
Okay, so the origin of this idiom isn't really very clear, and it's unknown really, but we can give you a bit of information about its meaning. So, if someone says, don't get me wrong, when a person says this, it means if you think, when it's said, you think someone might not understand something that you say, mm-hmm. or they might be upset or offended mm-hmm. by it. So, for example, in a sentence you would say, don't get me wrong, I'd love to come, but I'm too busy next week.
For example, Anna, if I invite you to a dinner party at home mm-hmm. and you say, no, Manu, I'm not going, uh-huh. I might feel a little bit upset,
exactly.
but then you explain it and you say,
Yeah, I'd say don't get me wrong.
Mm-hmm. I do want to come, right?
But I can't, something like this. So it's a way of maybe softening the blow of it.
Exactly, yeah. Yeah, it's, you explain, okay? In Spanish, to clarify what it means, in Spanish it's like, no me malinterpretes, okay? It's like, you explain yourself, and I'm not being mean to you, but I just can't do this.
Yeah.
Good.
Exactly, yeah.
Okay, that's good. And now, speaking of idioms, I've got three new ones that you may like, all right? So, for example, the first one would be, a watched pot never boils, okay? A watched pot never boils. Literally, it means that if you stand in front of a pot in the kitchen, it will never boil. That means that it will take too long, time will not pass, quickly enough, right? That's what it means. And what do we have in Spanish? What similar idioms do we have in Spanish? For example, quien espera, desespera. It's like when time doesn't seem to pass, doesn't seem to go by, a watch pot never boils. So,
and I think this is quite real when you're cooking,
Yeah.
You put the water in the pan and it seems to never boil. It's quite true.
You know what it does boil, and when your food might be burnt, if you check Facebook, when I'm cooking and I just to kill the time, I check my Facebook account, then I lose control of the time and then I will get...
Small disasters occur.
Yeah, so it's happened to me more than once. All right, so another one. This is a lot easier. And actually, it means precisely that. It's a piece of cake. When we say, I'm going to do this exercise. Oh, come on, it's a piece of cake. Right, that means it's extremely easy. It's very, very easy.
And there's one very similar. It's easy peasy, and that's quite colloquial in English. It's used quite a lot.
Exactly. So we can say that, or you could even say, Anna. Do you know a similar way of saying that?
Yeah. So another one would be, it's a walk in the park.
That means it's as easy as walking in the park. Yeah. Everyone can do that. Okay. Very good. A piece of cake. Excellent. And in Spanish, we don't say exactly the same, but we do use something related to food here. We say es pan comido. Okay. So again, foods is here. Okay. Fine. Now, and finally, the third one that I would like to comment on is we're all in the same boat. We are all in the same boat. And this one will be very easy for you because we say the same in Spanish. We say, estamos todos en el mismo barco. That means that at the end of the day, we all have the same kind of problems. We all have to go through the same kind of situations. And, so we're all equal. Okay.
That's great.
Yeah. Yep, good. Now, I think, this is What's the Fact. And you know that at this time of the program, this stage, we talk about a fact, okay? At the beginning, in the introduction, I anticipated that we would be talking about an English-speaking country, but not the typical, okay? We're not going to talk about the United States or Ireland, the United Kingdom, no. We're going to talk about India today. Right? What's the first impression? What's the first thing that comes to mind when I say India? Guys, what do you think? What do you know?
I think of the dresses, the saris, because I love fashion. Okay? It comes to me the films, because there's a very booming film industry.
Bollywood.
Yes. And it comes to me the British Empire.
Because
it has had Commonwealth, and then... some of those typical characteristics of the people and some fantastic animals and mountains they have this. I think it's got a lot to offer.
And actually, Christina, the main reason why English is one of the languages spoken in India is that it was once part of the British Empire of the Commonwealth. So we will discuss about all that in a minute. Anna, what suggest to you?
I think maybe similar ideas as what we've said, and also things like the food and maybe just the culture in general.
Yeah.
And the music as well.
And Anna, in your country, in the UK, there are lots of Indians and people from that area.
Yeah.
And I remember, you know, Anna is from near Manchester, and in Manchester is the curry mile. I suppose there will be curry miles elsewhere in the country, but, you know, in the curry mile, you can find lots of Indian shops, lots of Indian stores. You can find typical food from there, even typical clothes, products. You know, I remember that it was cool.
Yeah, that's true.
And for a Spaniard living abroad, it was fantastic because there are certain products that you use to cook. You can't really find them in regular supermarkets. So I often went to this part of the city to buy, for example, lentils. You know, I couldn't do any lentil soup, which is so Spanish, without lentils. So, you know, I went there and I bought the lentils there. That was cool. Agus, do you have any suggestions
about food?
Well, India, in
spicy
general.
Is chicken curry.
quite spicy food.
Yeah. Spicy food, yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
Very nice. On the tandoori, with special ovens. It's also very nice.
Indians like it spicy, yeah. Well, all right, good. So let's give a couple of tips on India, right? I have to say I've never been to India, but it must be such an interesting country, you know, such a mixture of cultures, such a mixture of religions and languages, and so much contrast. Okay?
I would say so.
Chris, what can you tell us about it?
Well, let's start, like Julie Andrews said, let's start from the very beginning. Mm-hmm. Okay? India is a country placed in South Asia. And it is the seventh largest country by area, the second most populous country with over 1.2 billion people.
Wow, that's
and
massive.
The most populous democracy in the world. That's because of the amount of people they have. Mm-hmm. Its capital is New Delhi, and the largest city is Mumbai. I would like to highlight that it's a subcontinent so big and was home to the urban Indus Valley civilization of the third millennium before Christ. In the following millennium, the oldest pictures associated with Hinduism began to be composed. Social stratification based on caste emerged in the first millennium before Christ, and Buddhism arose. So that's a little bit the beginnings of India.
Well, it's not a new country at all.
It's not. No.
It's got a whole lot of, you know, history and traditions.
Yep. And the social stratification, it remains nowadays.
All the castes, yeah. It's incredible.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so maybe we can also add a little bit about the history of India. So in the medieval era, Judaism, Christianity and Islam arrived in India. And in the mid-18th century, the subcontinent came under the British East India Company rule. And then in the mid-19th century, under British Crown rule. And a nationalist movement emerged in the late 19th century, which later, under Mahatma Gandhi, was noted for non-violent resistance and led to Indians' independence in 1947.
Oh, that's also interesting. Everybody knows Mahatma Gandhi. Okay, good. So later on in 2015, just a couple of years ago, the Indian economy was the world's seventh largest by nominal GDP and third largest by purchasing power parity. However, it continues to face the challenges of poverty, corruption, malnutrition and inadequate public health care. It has the third largest standing army in the world and ranks sixth in military expenditure among nations. India is a federal constitutional republic governed under a parliamentary system and consists of 29 states and 7 union territories. It is a pluralistic, multilingual and multi-ethnic society and is also home to a diversity of wildlife in a variety of protected habitats. It's such a big place that, you know, it contains lots and lots of different cultures and habitats, and, you know, that's, I think that's incredible.
It is so big, as I said before, that it is considered a subcontinent, and it is among Pakistan, Nepal, close to the Himalayas, Bhutan, Bangladesh, and between the Arabian Sea and the Bay of Bengal. And India has different climate, because it's big, but its weather is generally warm and humid. And a little bit more about geography, because the longest rivers has some very famous rivers. The first, the Indus River, the Brahmaputra River, and probably the most famous, the Ganga or Ganges. Famous why? Well, due to the fact that there are many temples and that it's used many times for religious purpose, because India is a very religious country.
It is.
And they use it for burials.
Yeah, instead of burying the corpses, you know, they put them in the, you know, floating in the river Ganges, and because it's like they suppose, and it's a way for them to say farewell to the loved ones. Okay.
Cool. And also maybe we can talk a bit more about the environment.
Mm-hmm.
And India's biodiversity contains many different kinds of plants and animals. So the Indian tectonic plate separated more than 105 million years ago, and India's subsequent movement towards and collision with the Laurasian landmass set off a mass exchange of species. And epochal volcanism and climate changes 20 million years ago forced a mass extinction of some of the animals. And as a result of this, 45.8% of reptiles and 55.8% of amphibians are endemic.
Wow.
And only 12.6% of mammals and 4.5% of birds are also. Mm-hmm. And India contains 172 threatened species of animals, and some examples of those are the Asiatic lion, the Bengal tiger, and the snow leopard, and then also the Indian white-rumped vulture.
Okay,
that's very interesting. Yeah. I find it interesting.
Yeah, so cool. Actually, like in such a massive country, there must be a massive amount of species and traditions. And among these traditions, we can of course find sports and games. Okay, so for example, the national Indian sport is field hockey. Right, that's considered the national Indian sport. It's a sport in which they have won many international trophies, but the most widespread sport in all the country is cricket. Okay, and it's the most famous as well. You know, the first sport that you think of when you're told India, it's probably cricket.
Mm-hmm. One of the results of the British Empire being
exactly in, yeah, mm-hmm. And actually, its origin is British. Okay, it's not originally Indian. Football and tennis are becoming more and more popular due to the improvement of success in international competitions.
Yes.
Then on the other hand, in India, several traditional indigenous sports remain fairly popular, such as kabaddi, kho-kho, pehlwani, and Gili Danda. Okay, I suppose that's the right pronunciation. Maybe not. Okay, some of the earliest forms of Asian martial arts, such as, you know,
come on, Manu, you can do it.
Kalaripayattu, Musti Yuda, Silamban, and Marma Adi. These are like three or four different ones. Originated in India, right? I'll say that again, you know. I like the challenge. Kalaripayattu, that was one. Musti Yuda, Silamban, and Marma Adi. Okay, they originated in India, right? All right. Now, chess, commonly held to have originated in India as Chaturanga, is regaining widespread popularity with the rise in the number of Indian grandmasters. Okay. Mm-hmm. Agus, what exactly is a grandmaster? Could you explain that?
It's a champion. It's like the world champion of chess. They receive the title of grandmaster. So they have many. There are many Indian grandmasters of chess. So due to the success, it's popular. It's like a national sport too. It's considered as a sport.
Yep. Wow. So, you know, it's far from being considered boring at all, you know.
Yep.
That's interesting. Then as another board game is Parcheesi, or sometimes called Ludo, okay, from which, well, no, actually they call it Parcheesi, and then we've got the word Parcheesi. And it was played on a giant marble court by Akbar. Okay. Well, you know, as you can check, they have got lots of different sports and games, and you know, they like to play.
Yeah, and it's like in Spain, for example, we have only one national sport. I don't know the name in English. Do you know esgrima? How is it?
It's fencing.
Fencing is the only Spanish sport, but it is not very famous in Spain.
I see. It's originally from Spain.
Yes, it is.
We invented it.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Okay.
But now you know. But the most popular sports are not from Spain. So I think probably we have the same case as India, because the most popular sports are also tennis and basketball and football.
Bolos conquenses,
yes, and everything. So it's the same. It's the same as India.
All right.
And I would like to add to this because of the you know, pushing sports, and obviously this program is made in Cuenca and is from Cuenca. And I would like to mention that there is a project of India, because there's been a new non-governmental organization that has been created here in Cuenca, which is called Ciudades de Viento. Okay, its webpage is www.ciudadesdeviento.com, and it's an organization that's going to push and help other organizations that are currently working in different parts of the world, like Uganda, Cameroon. But as today we're talking about India, they do have a project with India, and they are collaborating to big organizations that already exist, which is Nadal's Foundation, our number one tennis player, and also with Vicente Ferrer organization. So I think it's a lovely project of helping Indians to improve, and especially children in probably more underdevelopment or underdeveloped countries, regions, or state, or situations, and I'm very proud that somebody from Cuenca, I think we should all be very proud that somebody from Cuenca is doing this, and is going so far away. So
Christina, so what, so Ciudades de Viento, they bring tennis to...
They can bring sports, tennis, tennis activities, tennis equipment, help with facilities, help with training local people to become trainers.
Oh, wow.
So it's basically everything that has to do. And because they are starting, what they are doing is they are helping programs which have already started.
All right.
And they're doing that from here.
Well, yes. Yeah, so don't hesitate to check the website. Can you tell the website again, Christina?
The website is, because it really has a lovely name, Ciudades de Viento. So it's www.ciudadesdeviento.com.
Okay. So you don't forget to check it.
Yes,
okay.
And you can find more about it.
Okay.
Yep. So what's next?
I think we're Christina, there are, you said before that religion is a very important part of the country, right? So what are the main religions in India?
Well, there are many religions, but the biggest one, the largest by far, is Hinduism, okay? Which is, it's 79%, you know, follow this religion. And then we've got the Islam with around 14%, which is quite big too. And then we go down to Christianity, which is around 2%. And then we have Shiskim, which in India is like 1.7%.
That doesn't look much, does it?
No, it doesn't. But really, it's the fifth religion in the world with around 25 million followers. Sorry. And you will probably have heard about this because they have the guru of the Sikhs, who is the leader. Okay? And Buddhism is around 0.7%, and then we go to much minor religions. Mm-hmm. But probably Hinduism, obviously, is the biggest.
It's a big, big one, okay? Well, it's really interesting. I had no idea that, you know, Sikhism, that, you know, I have, you know, hardly heard in my life, is actually the fifth religion in the world.
It's an amazing fact, that one. But we always learn something. What's the fact?
That's what I like about this program. Okay.
But this program is also about languages. So what happens with the languages?
Of course. Actually, the reason why we have chosen to speak about India is because English is one of the languages spoken in India. Okay. But definitely not the one. Okay. Well, in India, there is no national language. That means, you know, there is no one language for everybody, as many countries have, right? Because all the regions have different languages. But we can say that the official languages, okay, in for administration and many other things, are Hindi and English, okay? You know, but the status, the different statuses of these languages vary across the country. So, you know, for some people, one language can be the first language. For other people, it could be the second language and even a foreign language, right? So let me just mention the differences quickly, all right? So a first language is the same as a mother tongue. That means that you acquire it at home. It's probably your family language, and you use it currently, and it's the one that you control the best, okay? It's the one that you master, right? But then you might have a second language, which is also acquired, okay? Maybe because you study in a bilingual school, maybe because some of your relatives speaks another language, okay? Maybe because you spend a whole day watching TV in another language, okay? So that's acquired from a very early age. And then we have got a foreign language. A foreign language is when you learn it, you don't acquire it, you learn it, okay? For example, later on at school, or for example, as a teenager or as an adult, you decide to go abroad, you might learn a foreign language. But it's not acquired from a child, it's learned.
Yeah, because it's not in your environment.
Exactly, yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, you have to make an effort, let's say, to learn it. Okay, so in India, we have got a total number of 22 major languages and many, many dialects, all right? Some of these languages, apart from Hindi and English, are, for example, Tamil, Bengali, Gujarati, okay, there are many of them. But as I said before, English is one of them, and do you know how an English accent sound? I mean, do you know how an Indian accent in English sounds like? You know,
it's quite different, I would say.
Yeah, it's quite. You know, it's quite curious. Okay, so I think the best way. I'm not going to make you try to imitate an Indian accent, but let's play some audio samples here, okay? So first of all, I would like to introduce the normal, any Indian person speaking in English, okay? So, Agus, please.
Hello, my name is Anbu, and welcome to my YouTube channel. Today, I wanted to, introduce the Indian accent to you. I am very well aware that there is a big variety of accents, and not just Indian, there is Sri Lankan, Pakistani, and all over South Asia there is different accent, but I wanted to introduce to you the South Indian accent. You know, I am very interested in accents, and I, you know, if you're ever interested in learning the Indian accent, perhaps you have a, you know, acting role where you have to learn Indian accent. This video will cover the basics of the Indian accent.
All right. So, you know, how did you like it? I think it's quite different from the accents that we're probably used to, you know, we used to hearing on the TV or, you know, in the cinema. Right. It's very peculiar, I would say. And, well, that's the way they talk. Okay. Now, let's do something for fun now. Now, I'm going to play another bit of some Indian accent, but this time I'm sure you know who you know who's speaking. Okay, what if I say that you know? What if I say Apu and Manjula? Where are these characters from?
From The Simpsons.
From The Simpsons, right? Yeah. So.
But we've only heard them speak Indian in Spanish, Indian.
Yeah, yeah, Spanish with a
with an Indian
with
accent.
A weird accent, maybe.
Yes.
Because there's not such a thing as as an Indian accent, in Spanish, right? But it's the translation. It's the way they are dubbed in Spanish, right? So you know, you're going to listen to Apu and Manjula. All right, but I would like you to start thinking, you know, what is the context or what episode are we playing here, right? You know, keep thinking, you know, take pay attention to the accent, but also try to work out what this episode is, okay?
Oh, I'm afraid this is all my fault, Manjula. To be perfectly honest with you, I have not exactly been looking forward to this arranged marriage.
Oh, nor have I. Marrying a complete stranger? It is crazy. All right. Ganesh has been subdued.
All will die.
Resume the ceremony.
Oh, quickly tell me, what is your favorite movie, book and food?
The answer to all three is fried green tomatoes.
That is good.
Double parked.
Oh, I am so torn. You are clearly so quick-witted and beautiful.
And when I look in your eyes, I see that sweet little boy who sold me my very first kiss. And I liked it.
Oh, do you think this marriage could really work?
Who knows? We can always get divorced.
Okay. We can always get divorced, right? I like The Simpsons quite a lot. I hope you paid enough attention, okay? Not just to the accent itself, but also the context, right? Agus, could you tell us what episode is this? What are we talking about here?
It's a wedding for Apu.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So Apu and Manjula get married?
Yes, of course.
Is it any kind of marriage?
It's an arranged marriage. Mm-hmm. And in India, it was normal. Now, I don't know, but probably it is. You know.
I guess it's still normal, yeah. Right? And in some other countries, too.
And what does it mean, an arranged marriage? Do mm-hmm. you know?
It's a marriage. It's...
It's when you do not decide, you do mm-hmm. not choose.
Like a parents' agreement?
A parents' agreement, yep. As with parents. And it's I think it still happens in some countries, not only in India.
In Asia and Africa.
Yes.
It's a current thing. It would be a shock if we had that here.
Yes, and in some cases, you don't even know the person you're marrying
until
the day of your wedding. Mm.
That's the case of the...
And that's the case of this chapter mm-hmm. yep. of The Simpsons.
But it has a happy ending anyway, yeah. Right? They do like each other and yes. and they finally get married, you know, happily. That's good. Excellent. Now, I would like you to listen to another bit that contains another... very popular character on the TV, right? But this time I'm not going to tell you any tips, right? Any hints. So let's listen to it and let's see if you recognize his voice and this character. It's not that easy. It's not like in The Simpsons, okay? So Agus, please.
Hello?
Hey, Raj. It's Claire. How are you?
Hi, I'm good, really good. Well, I don't know why I said really good. I'm just regular good. I really just wanted to sound confident, and that really was a real really, not a fake really, like the first really. I don't know. I lost track and I missed my exit. So what's up?
Well, last time we talked, I had just gotten back together with my boyfriend and I wanted to let you know that things didn't work out.
Really? I'm sorry. I swear I know other words.
So if you were still interested?
Yes, indeed. Absolutely. Indubitably. Not even sure what the last one means, but it's another word and I know it. When do you want to meet up?
I'm almost off work. What are you doing now?
Right now? Well, actually, to be completely honest, I'm stopping by to see my ex-girlfriend because she's having a tough time, but
it's not like we're getting back together or anything.
Let me guess. The worst part about breaking up is that she doesn't have her best friend to talk to anymore?
That's exactly what she said. How do you know that?
I'm a girl. It's like page one out of the playbook.
Any chance you could send me a PDF?
Okay, good. Well, the name is mentioned right at the beginning, so that was not that difficult. But, right, who is speaking? Obviously not the girl. The girl has got a regular American accent. The boy, who is the boy?
He's a very clever boy. He's really intelligent. Mm-hmm. But I think he always has problems when he's flirting with girls and finding a girlfriend. And his group of friends are also extremely intelligent. Uh-huh. That's a little clue. Do you think, are you getting there?
They're actually physicists, okay, most of them. And they're not very successful with girls, okay, sometimes.
They're not very good with their social life, I would say. Yeah. They're quite shy and the way they act.
The geeks, okay, I don't know if you know the word, the geeks, like, you know, people who spend lots of hours in front of the computer playing, playing World of Warcraft and games like that. So, you know, what's the name of this character? What's the name of this series?
Mm-hmm. So the character is Raj from mm-hmm. The Big Bang Theory.
Okay, Raj from The Big Bang Theory, right? I'm sure you all know him. Okay, very good.
And did you know, Manu, actually, he's British.
He's British?
Yes.
No.
He is British, but he is of Indian origins.
All right, so he is actually faking that accent in the series.
I don't think so. I think he must have that accent, uh-huh. because if he has a... But I don't know, because I'm not such an expert on his life or anything, but he is British, mm-hmm. and actually he's filming in the US, and I think he's even written a book.
Yeah, actually, I'm just checking it on Google, and he apparently has written a book called "Yes, My Accent Is Real." Okay, "Yes, My Accent Is Real." So, you know, apparently it's about anecdotes and funny moments and funny situations. It must be worth reading. Okay.
So I think if you ever go to India. Oh, if you manage to meet some Indian friends, it's good to listen and catch up with the accents.
Yeah.
Because, you know, by listening to different accents is how you get used to them.
Exactly, okay? Yeah. And actually, the more accents you get used to, the more possibilities you'll have, the more chances you'll have to understand everybody and learn new words, learn new things.
So we will have more accents, we'll promise, in the future in this program.
We'll be talking about more countries with some interesting facts and also with their accents in English. That'd be so cool. Good. Right. So, we're almost finishing now, but Christina, can you tell us what's on? Remember that we have got this section here, what's on in Cuenca, what's going on here?
Well, okay, so we have on the 24th of March at 8:30 at night in the musical, the Magic Flute. And then, so that's on the 24th of March at 8:30. A painting exhibition in Sala Rozos, which will be on from the 16th till the 23rd of March, and it's called Paragípticos, Patty Eyes. There's another art exhibition, Así lo vemos, Creando con Down. This is at Cuenca's Museum and will be on until the 23rd of March. And then we also have in the Mon Club Cuenca a monologue of Humor Manchego by Agustín Durán, and this will be on the 24th of March at 11:45 at night. So that was a little bit of what's going on in Cuenca in these next days.
Okay, so, take the chance. You know, don't try not to miss anything. Okay? We're done for today, right? So, thank you so much, everybody, for coming here, for being with us and with our listeners. And, fine. So, Agus, goodbye.
Goodbye, Manu.
Have a nice weekend.
And you too, of course.
All right. Christina.
Okay, have a nice weekend and practice your Indian accent. Let's see how you do it.
Okay, Christina. No, that was really bad.
It's very difficult.
That was really bad. Okay, and Anna, see you around 4:00.
Yeah, goodbye. Thank you for listening.
Okay, thank you, everybody. See you next week, okay? Bye-bye.
Taberna del Pony, la 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 taberna del Pony.